thinking about self-publishing and don't know where to start? Join the Spa Girls each week for 30 minutes of honest advice, tips, and resources. And this is episode number 36, I think, from memory.
Maybe not.
Everyone else, look, you looked for a moment like you were all frozen on me again. We're having a few technical issues this morning, so we may or may not freeze, and I might just be talking to you by myself or something. I don't know. We'll see how we go. That could be the worst thing that could ever happen. Me rabbiting on by myself.
It's the coldest day. The coldest day we've had, so it's hardly surprising we're all frozen, is it?
Yeah. How cold do you think it is? It's pretty cold.
7 degrees Celsius this morning, according to
seven,
the radio.
Seven.
In Auckland, New Zealand. Everybody that lives in the cold climates will be laughing at us because we're pathetic.
But it's cold.
Big socks. Don't know what cold is.
It's cold.
It is. When 2 weeks ago it was like 18.
It's just suddenly gone. Winter is here. Winter has come.
I have a lap blanket on.
That's 45 degrees Fahrenheit just to convert.
There you go. All right, anyway,
what are we talking about today?
So today's topic, we talked about how to start up your newsletter last time and sort of briefly talked about some of the content, but we thought we'd dive in a little bit deeper this time and talk about the kind of content that you want to think about for your newsletters, and offer up some suggestions on what the kind of things that we've used in the past and the kind of things that we are planning for the future for our newsletters, and the best kind of content to keep the subscribers, to connect with your readers and all of that stuff so that they will buy all your books and make you a millionaire. That's what we want, right? No? Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Everyone sounds good. Everyone's very distracted. I felt like I was just talking into a vacuum there for a second.
Yeah. None of us are on Facebook while you're talking, I promise.
Yeah, which means Wendy is on Facebook while I'm talking. Thank you, Wendy. Everyone get off your alternative platforms and listen to me. It's all about me.
Right.
And also the people listening as well, because they're important too. Okay, let's stop.
We're focused now.
Okay, so newsletter content. So who wants to start? Who wants to dive in? Cheryl.
I know Shaz.
Well, you
go, Cheryl.
Stop it, Dee. I wanted to say that when you start off, you need to keep it short and simple. Okay, so don't be overwhelmed. We've already covered that. You've got to start small and work up to it. I think you need to look at other people. I think we did mention this before. Look at other people's newsletters, see what they've got in their content, and think about what you like to read. You know, you don't want to overdo anything. So you don't want to overdo promoting yourself, selling your products. Too many ads, people are just going to not be interested. It's got to be engaging, interesting, and consistent. You've got to be, if you say you're going to do a newsletter every month, then that's what you need to do. And you don't want to put out anything substandard, so you need to think about it. And, you know, not necessarily as soon as you sit down to write the damn thing, have a few things up your sleeve, and you can get those seriously from other authors.
I think it needs to be visually attractive.
Definitely.
Although when I did mine, I tried to do, like, I come from a corporate communications background, and the kind of newsletters we used to send out were very, you know, they'd been designed by professional designers and they had all that stuff. And so I tried to do the same thing, and I over-designed mine, and I went back and realized a lot of the more successful ones that I get personally are the ones that are just kind of text writing. There's a lot of white space, but they're not overly designed. Like, they're not too pretty.
You don't need a graphic every inch.
Yeah, like, people feel like they're being sold
too. Many graphics will get stripped out anyway by a lot of email programs. So, yes, it has to look nice, but don't get carried away and put 20 pictures in there, because often that will either trigger a spam filter, or it just won't. It will be too slow to load in the email program, and it'll cause all kinds of issues in readability. So I think you're right, Trudy. White space is really good around text rather than a wall of text.
It's like someone sending you a letter, isn't it? A message. Yeah. You know, it's personal. Yeah. It's to you, and it's a personal touch, and it's a direct line through to a reader that you go, Trudy.
I was just saying, when you write it, so you said a direct line through you to your reader, and that's a really valid point. Like, when you write it, write it as if it's just to one person. Don't write it to hi all you people out there in my newsletter. Do it to hi there to you, one specific person, because you want the person reading it to feel like it's connecting you to them. So that if you you write it so that it's like, I wanted to talk to all of you in my readers group, they're not feeling like it's a, you got to say, I want to thank you because you're in my readers group, because they don't know all the other people are getting that they're getting a new, do you know what I'm saying? Like the difference is like, you got to talk directly to one person and have it written as if it's just to one person. So don't make the mistake of writing to everyone at one time. Is my thing.
One of the things, and with the automated services that we've recommended, whether it's MailChimp or AWeber or Mad Mimi, they make it easy to personalise those emails. So it goes to Dear Trudy or Dear Shah or Dear Cheryl. And it's very easy to do.
Dear Wendy?
So,
No, Dear Wendy.
You won't answer. No. You're on the block list. But I guess I would say from just, you know, there's a lot of authors are quite sort of shy people too. And the reason that people are joining your newsletter is, you know, friends and family, obviously. But when you go beyond that to complete strangers, they're joining your newsletter because they're genuinely interested in you and your work. So don't be backward in talking about that either. We're not saying, you know, have a buy me mailer every week, but equally I find in the authors that I've met that are starting off, they're really almost apologetic when they send newsletters, and they shouldn't be, because those people have given you their email address for a reason, and that is that they are interested in your work and they want to hear about what you've got coming out again. So don't, you know, just remember that.
Yeah, don't be apologetic and be confident.
Yeah, I think being confident is a really good point.
And if you haven't got the right tone, sorry, Wendy.
I just said, I think it's about finding the right tone, and that it will match your books and you as a person, and something you feel comfortable putting out and sending out to the universe, you know, to your readers. I think it, you know, you've got to be comfortable with it, but like Shah says, also step outside the square and understand that this is another tool for marketing yourself and your books.
And people have signed up voluntarily. They've voluntarily signed up because they are interested in you. So don't feel like you're pushing something on them that they haven't asked for. And they are at any time can unsubscribe. And don't be offended by the unsubscribes. It's just that, you know. Yeah. Sorry, Cheryl, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, if you don't have a book coming out, and when you're starting out, that's probably going to be absolutely true. You might not even want to do a newsletter every month. You might want to do it bi-monthly or quarterly or something like that. As long as you stick to that, that's good. But if your newsletter's due and you don't have something to release yourself, then promote somebody else's work. Maybe add an excerpt of your book in progress or something of the one that you've already written. Or, you know, maybe you might want to offer something free, like a short story, something that you can, I hesitate to say whip up, but you know what I mean. between writing your longer books, have something that you don't mind giving away, because it's a taste of your work, and that's ultimately what you are going to start off wanting to do, give people a taste of what's to come. So, and like Wendy said, you know, it's about you. It's, you know, about how you write.
Can you hear the beeping out there? So there's people across the way who are digging up their driveway, so I apologize for any random digging, beeping or loud male voices that you might hear in the background of my recording. But anyway, back
we've just come to our own conclusions about why there's loud male voices in your room.
They're trying to dig their way out of the basement.
Yeah, they're trying to just escape. Leave it there.
What? Yeah. She tries to say they're just
you should let them out to play now and again.
Yeah. Not very often, though.
Okay, content. Bringing it back into line before we deteriorate.
Should we do a wee list? And this is something that we could actually put up on our website. You know,
of ideas so for content. Yeah.
Content.
If you're driving, you don't have to write this down.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so...
So stories is a really good one that you've just mentioned, Cheryl. Although I have to say, like, you talk about whipping them up, and I know that you hesitated and everything, but you think that a story is going to be easy to write, but I find it really hard to whip myself up a short story. They are really hard to write. So I personally, I've written one short story that's like 15,000 words, just saying. Yes. And then I've got another one that I'm kind of currently in the process of writing, and it's about 4,000 words, and I just am struggling with it. I find it really hard to put together.
Well, that's probably because I write short anyway.
Yeah.
So for me, a short story, I just have so many ideas. Sometimes I just need to get them out there, and it could just turn it into like a little 3,000 short story. Yeah. And
I've never tried it, to be honest.
Have
never tried. No, I'm always the person who does my email newsletter and helps me with it, who's sitting across from me on the screen, wants me to do it and says to me, how about whipping up a short story? And she has been saying that to me for months. And I'm like, yeah, all over it. And then I just ignore it. But no, I will.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's just an idea from me. So if it's something that you can do, that's fine. But, you know, ultimately it's, you know, what we're saying here are our opinions. And look, we are different, aren't we? We've just proved.
And you will listen to us, okay? Yes.
No, but all I meant to say is that sometimes it just depends on what kind of writer you are and whether that's as easy. Don't feel like, you know, because Cheryl does it and she's a genius at short stories that everyone is, and you're somehow failing as a writer if you can't whip them up. Because, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
So what else can we put in that list? So you can touch on personal things, can't you? Something personal about you, you know.
Especially to start off, I think that's really good. But, you know, other things can happen during the month or 2 months, can't they? Really resonate, and you think, that'd be amusing.
You just have to really think about it, though, because don't waffle on about nothing. No. Like, think of something. Like, for me, I've mentioned my daughter and my family a couple of times, and people, that's when I always get the emails back saying, oh, yes, and my daughter does this too. Like, they're really connecting with that kind of stuff. Mm. So depending on what kind of stuff you write or what people are interested in, that's what you want to be writing about, not just
holidays, going on holidays, going to a conference, going to a movie, just something that's a little bit outside, especially I think because of where we live in a country that is the size of a pinhead compared to everywhere else in the world. So we are quite intriguing, some of the things that go on here. I mean, I think everyone wants to write
things. I'm personally quite intriguing. I don't know about you lot.
No, we don't. Someone said, I remember when I was on a loop and they said, tell me about these hobbits, you know, with the whole feet and hairy feet and stuff. And, you know, and I was like,
because they're real.
Okay. You know, okay then.
Gandalf walks these
shorts. We've all seen them. We've all spotted them. No, but, you know, you can say something that is native or just for you from where you come from. It's you personally. It's about where you live or your area, or chuck in a photo or whatever. You know, I'm just saying, you can personalise it up.
On that one, I think that's really nice. Sort of a behind the scenes of the writer's life is a nice way of doing it.
And it's amazing how it catches people. Because, like, I was reading this email newsletter and I wasn't really that interested. And then suddenly she mentioned that she'd moved to Alaska, sight unseen, from Texas. So she'd been living in Texas. They just randomly decided to up and move to Alaska and just rented a house online and then moved everything. And I was like, immediately, as soon as she said that, I was like, oh my God, who does that?
Wow.
That's just nuts. Exactly. And suddenly she caught me. She had me. And I've been reading all her emails since. And it's funny.
But if you are listening to this, that person, you are not nuts.
No.
We think it's brave. We think it's brave of you.
I was fascinated. Yeah. Sorry, Shai, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say just a couple of other things that you can talk about. So if you've got a new release, then I think that should absolutely take precedence. But we're talking about content that if you haven't got a new release, so you could do sort of like, as Cheryl alluded to before, about like an upcoming release, you know, something that you're working on, a work in progress, a snippet or a cover reveal of something coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of like a little teaser. And you're right about other authors. I think that's a really nice thing to do as well because, you know, I think – you know, what goes around comes around. And if you're doing it for you know, things, books that you genuinely love, I think that's a really good thing because let's face it, before you're a writer, you're a reader first, really. You know, most writers are. You know, you get into it because you love reading so much. So I think that's a great connector is the love of reading.
Yeah.
I've also put to some of the authors that I enjoy reading often have a setting in whether it's a craft sort of type shop or like a bakery or something like that, and I've noticed that they cleverly put either recipes or maybe like a link to a craft pattern or a knitting or something like that, and just a nice little sort of added extra, if you like, that makes the setting of the series, you know, kind of even more real in a way.
And relevant. So I think,
and if you're reading those sort of books, you tend to be into that kind of thing. That's what you like. So I thought that was a really nice idea as well. And the other thing I've written down here is setting information. So along those lines, but if it's, say, as Wendy said before, set in, for example, New Zealand, then, you know, a couple of photos or some personal insights of us romping through Hobbiton, for example.
We should so do that.
We really have to do that. Take some Stargirls photos in Hobbiton. We could do a podcast from Hobbit.
Yeah, I did say that.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention.
Wendy, you're getting it today, Wendy. Man.
Excuse me, I am too busy writing down notes here, people. But I really like that idea as well as talking about like giving more information about the setting of it. If it's a big part of the story or the series, that's a really nice thing as well. And obviously the other thing is any giveaways, any sort of special little reader giveaways that are just for newsletter subscribers or announced first to newsletter subscribers. These people are really, really valuable in terms of marketing, and they're precious emails that you get, and I think that they should be treated, you know, so well. And I'm really in favour of doing newsletter subscriber only giveaways as a reward for their loyalty to signing up.
And they can be really simple things. Like I did one that
absolutely.
Help me name the character in my next novel.
Yeah.
And I've got the name of the character in my novel that I'm currently writing was suggested to me by one of my VIP group, which is slightly smaller than my main list, but they loved it. They were really excited by it. I got loads of suggestions, and I've heard of another author doing really like he'll name a minor character after the person who wins the competition, so you get your name first and second, and some of your own biographical details. So you write in and say, okay, well, I'm an astronaut who likes green broccoli for breakfast, and I do, you know, whatever you are. And and he will incorporate you as a minor character.
It's green, isn't it?
Into whatever. I don't know. I was just randomly off the top of my head, the things that are going through my head at that time. And I think that's really cool. And people really love that. And that's a really big, you know, you have to be on the newsletter list to do that. But it's not something that they could, you know, it's not a monetary thing. It's just a, wow, that's cool. Yeah. I love this.
It's engaging them.
I'm in a book and I'll be in a book forever.
Yeah, and then they'll promote that book and tell everyone they know about that book because they're in it, you know? Yeah,
they're in it.
Exactly.
It's also like if you're writing a series, like I've got a series which has got, I'm just trying to count the books as we speak, but I can't remember, quite a few in it. And people love that series, and I've got a few scenes that I deleted that I would also offer up because it would just give another insight to those characters, and it just gives you something that's personal and to them. It's just showing you that, you know, that you other things about that series and just engaging them even more. So yeah, deleted scenes can be quite good. And so couldn't a family tree. I had an email the other day from a historical writer, and she had the family tree of a series that I had read right through, and it was intriguing. I really enjoyed looking at you know, seeing what other books could possibly be coming out. So that's another sort of idea there.
Yeah, or maps. I've seen maps as well.
Maps are
too.
Great.
Particularly sort of the fantasy, not fantasy. Well, yes, fantasy. Obviously fantasy books often have it, but also other ones. You know, sort of people that have made up places. You know, like for example, Murray Forster's Gansett Island and that kind of thing. You know, where you've got. It's based on a real place, but it's not a real place. You know, that kind of thing's really cool.
So there's a big, really big kind of fan art kind of environment too, so like people who've loved the series and decide to draw things from your series, so you can get images and maps drawn and all sorts of things like that from really creative, interesting people. You could get one drawn for you, obviously, if you wanted to use. Like I've got the Magic Carnival, the carousel in my books, and I'm just dying to get someone, get that drawn up by someone. I just have to get a bit of money together or something, I don't know, but or if there's anyone listening to this who's a really good artist who feels like drawing some carousels based on my book, go for it. But that kind of stuff is really cool.
That's a good idea.
And maps, maps are definitely big in science fiction and fantasy. That's a massive thing for people to do.
Maybe so, a review, you know, from a prominent person especially would be great.
Reviews are great. I think that it's good to see a really good review that, like you said, is from someone, you know, like I think that really helps, you know, because we all do read reviews to buy books. So that's a really good way. But new release alerts are really important, I think. One of the, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah. I mean, it's in the, if you're talking about frequency, I mean, when I very first started out, I was just new release alerts. That's all I did.
Yeah. And I think that's fine too when you're starting as well, because it can be overwhelming. And I mean, people are like, okay, well, that's great, but nobody knows me. So I'm starting off with a newsletter list of one, which is myself and my mother.
But that's good practice. That's the time when that's the time when you start writing it and you practice. And by the time you've got 100 people,
absolutely, that's it. You can make all your mistakes then. That's fine. And it's when you get to used to fiddling around with the templates and Mad Mimi or MailChimp or whatever. So that's a good thing. And, you know, it will build as you put the word out there. You ask on Twitter for people to sign up. You ask on Facebook for people to sign up. You ask on, obviously, books. You have the link in the back of your books for people to sign up. And it does grow. And then as you get further down the track, there's other things that you can do to really help grow it in terms of Facebook advertising and giveaways and that kind of thing. But when you're starting off, I think Wendy's absolutely right. There is nothing wrong with starting off, I believe, with a new release news only. And I've seen it called new release alert. And it's not quite as overwhelming a concept as a newsletter. Now, if it's an alert, you think of it as kind of short and brief. And if you're feeling really overwhelmed by the concept of doing this, which I get the sense that a lot of beginning first publishers are, and I've seen people put it off because it's such an overwhelming thing to do that they don't do it until sort of a couple of years after they've had books out, which to me is such a shame that they've missed out on all those initial readers. So, you know, it's better to start off with something small than not do it because it's too overwhelming to do.
And then you can grow it
from there.
If you're wanting to try and make it less overwhelming, think of it like this. So you can do a release or an email once a month. In a year, that's 12 emails. The emails at maximum are going to be maybe 200 words long, probably a lot less. Like that's a long email, 200 words, maybe 100 words. And what you can do is outline it. Like sit down one day, it'll take you about an hour or so, and brainstorm ideas for each of those 12 emails that you're going to send out. Put an idea under each one. Know when maybe there's going to be a new release alert. You're probably going to put at least maybe one or two books out, so that'll be two of them gone. Or you can send a recipe another time, so all you have to do is find a recipe and say, hey, look, here's a go. A favourite author, a book by a favourite author that you really love as a recommendation, that's another one done. Like, it's it's not actually, like, you just have to keep them short and sweet, and if you've got a plan for it, then it's not like you're sitting down going, oh my God, I don't know what to write. You look at your list and go, okay, this issue, it's going to be that recipe that I was going to send out. You look up the recipe, you say, hey, look, you guys, I've got this fantastic recipe that I love and it's my favorite thing ever. Here it is. Here's a picture of me and my daughter making it, just because it's me. And let me know how it goes for you guys. I'd love to see some photos. Put them up on my Facebook page here. And that's it done. Like,
yeah. And yeah, I think that's a really good point, Trudy, about breaking it down like that and actually pre-thinking of it, because it's the old blank page thing just as much for this, isn't it, as writing a novel.
Yeah.
I love that idea. I think that's great. And to what we were saying before about the ideas for contents, I just want to reiterate that these are not all having to be in the one newsletter, just in case that's come across. No. I'm just wanting to clarify that.
It's that one idea a newsletter. Don't clutter
one
it.
One idea per newsletter, yeah. So what you don't want to have is your new release plus a recipe plus photos of your recent trip plus personal insights and an author you love. I really think no. We're talking. We're kind of brainstorming ideas for you here. In between those new releases of what could I do? And I think once a month is a really nice target to aim for initially.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to mention some links that you really must have. So these are must-haves in your newsletter. So you want to have a link to your newsletter, to your sign-up, because you're hoping that somebody's going to love your newsletter so much they're going to pass it to their friends, so therefore then those friends are not on your mailing list yet. So you do want them to sign up. And conversely, you need to have the unsubscribe button. You don't have that?
Oh. Shame on you.
Yeah. I have the unsubscribe button. I don't have the link to my newsletter because I always assume that they're on my newsletter already. So what's the point?
So you get it. Sometimes you might even put in it that you'd like people to pass on your newsletter, because I mean, the more people that see it, the more opportunity you have to grow your list.
Absolutely. So, and to be honest, most of them do have a forward button down the bottom that you can use to forward. Okay. Yeah.
That's cool. Yep. And a really, really big link that you need to have is to your website. You want people to be able to find you. Mm-hmm. And, any other platforms that you're on, but website especially.
And also, I think on that, just remember that the first thing they're going to see is the title, in the line.
Make sure the
subject title, make sure that's kick-ass or whatever you want it to be, but make sure it's not got those little wordies in there that are going to shove it straight to spam and things like that. I think we touched on that in another episode.
What are some of the words?
Like free.
Lots of exclamation marks and dollar signs and sort of random characters like that. Yeah, and you can actually test them. For example, like some of the programs like MadMimi and MailChimp, they have like best practices, so they have a huge amount of information actually on their site, like as free resources and recommendations on how to write a good subject line. And and also remember that people read their email in so many different ways. How it might look to you on your desktop screen when you're composing it is not necessarily how it's going to look when somebody's reading it on their phone through Gmail or in Outlook, or if they've got their settings set to automatically strip out images, for example. So it's really important that you have, if you've got an image, for example, that's saying giveaway, click here to I don't know, do whatever, win a giraffe, then
you have to be able to have a
text version of that too. Do you know what I'm saying? So if that image is clicked out, automatically stripped out, what you don't want is them to miss a vital piece of information.
If that's your call to action. It's also really, really, I think it's really, really important to make it look good too. I think that visually it's got to look good, and that's not one whole block
and grammar
of
check,
text.
Please, as well.
Yes.
I've seen a number come through and it's like, oh dear. We all make mistakes, but sometimes...
Some people do,
It's not a...
We talked about it last time about sending them to your test list first.
Yeah,
so that's really, really important. Do that.
Just make it, adding subheadings and bullet points, highlighting, bold, italicized, that sort of stuff, using short sentences and paragraphs, just make it visually attractive so that someone's going to want to read it. It's not just a big block of black text.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, are there any other... It's a shock.
Were we going to run through and do maybe one of our...
Just a
newsletter. Maybe Trumas with you. We've got, I think, a few minutes. We could probably just do that in.
Yeah, okay. So we could talk about... Do you want to do me?
Why not?
Are we okay with that?
Let's do you.
I mean, we could do any of us because we've all got... Anyway. Okay, so for me, I've got the Magic Carnival series. So the things that I have done in the past, I have learnt to juggle and I videotaped it. Or Shah videotaped me, actually, and I made up a little small video. So I've sent people to that a couple of times in the course of things. And I've wanted, someone suggested to me recently, in what I think is a genius idea, is one of my characters, Abba, is a creative kind of genius, and he's always thinking up new ideas, and he writes them down on little pieces of serviettes, and he takes photos of stuff and he writes things down. And he's got, one of the things in the book was that he'd had this desk stuffed full of paper and ideas and things, and so I want to start creating some of those and offering them to my newsletter list as ideas and stuff. But I don't know if, what other kind of things do you guys reckon I could send out?
Well, you've got so much scope for Carnival, haven't you? Each character, you know, a map of the compounds that you write is a huge one, and the circus act.
The actual inside of the main tent, you know.
Tent, how it's set up, you know. Missy's hair and Zeph's hair and whatever else, you know. I mean, those sort of things are really intriguing.
They're hair, did you say? Your outfits. Yeah. Oh, outfits.
No, Missy. No, I meant, actually, that's not what I meant, but there we go. Missy, you know, a picture of the inside of the tent. This is where Missy does her thing.
Okay. I thought you meant how she had her hair done. And I was like,
sharpen up. You know. Really?
And also, what about circus acts that have actually inspired you? You know, like, yes. I know that you've been to Cirque du Soleil when it came out here, and other ones overseas and that kind of thing. And I think if somebody's reading the Magic Carnival series, they're going to probably be like circuses. Now, I love circuses, but, you know, we've talked already about my clown phobia. So I don't quite know how to answer that. Maybe you could talk about people with clown phobias.
You could actually.
I'm pretty sure that's most common fear, apart from public speaking, just saying.
Keep the shark shifter out of it.
Yeah. But you know, maybe things that you've seen that have actually inspired you. So, like, different circus sets that have inspired you, or maybe some cool links to, like, a YouTube video that's amazing, because there are some amazing ones. Yep. So, you know, the people are, I think, predisposed to enjoying that world, and you are really enthusiastic, genuinely so, about it. So I think that really comes through as being very genuine, you know, when you're including those things rather than just sort of trotting it out.
Short stories, that lends itself to short stories.
We've already talked about the short stories, though, haven't we?
We have. Yeah. I bet Shark would never go to the fair and you put the ball in the clown's mouth, though, eh? Could you, Shark?
We won a prize on
Sorry,
on
I just sneezed into my mic.
Sorry?
I used to put those balls in clowns' mouths when I was a small child. But, you know, we can talk about clown phobias, but it's a very sensible phobia. And I'm just saying
it's like my fear of sharks.
Sharks aren't scary.
No, but I can be in the bath and be worried about somehow that the shark's going to get me.
Don't say that sort of stuff out loud, Trudels. We want these people to take us seriously, honestly.
It's a serious fear.
We can have a whole podcast on
irrational fears of writers.
It's not a fear in the bathtub.
Write a book on this, I
could open up the bottom of the bath, could open up, and I could fall down into
your
a giant
IQ
pool.
Level has just dropped. Significantly.
It's my overactive imagination, and I can...
enough now.
Anyway,
let's
sorry.
Make your phobia. Let's not talk.
Okay.
So, anything else? Any other cool ideas for what I could send out with my
circus food? Food that's eaten at circuses, all that kind of stuff.
How to make
cool things.
Recipes for it? That's quite a cool
idea. The history of circuses, like the background of different and how they're different now to how they were, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's the sort of the magic side as well. So don't forget that too. So, you know, as a reader, I love to kind of get an insight into the writer's brain of how they form or where they get their ideas for that magical stuff. You know, that really is the essence of imagination. And despite Trudy's completely bizarre, irrational fear of sharks in the bath, you know, there are some working brain cells in there that have created this amazing magical world. And so...
Ouch! That gets me right in the heart.
Okay, we're here already now. I think we're going to pull this back in. Basically,
a lot of gray cells in there.
There is a lot of scope
about that shark thing. But anyhow,
there's a lot of scope here for email newsletters. This is what we're trying to give you some ideas. There is so much. Don't feel burdened by it. follow Trudy's idea, which is, you know, break it all down, you know, work out your year. It's a great idea. It doesn't have to be scary, but it is a direct link from you to people that you are going to have, hopefully, for some time. And show us saying something.
And the cool thing is, when you're using one of the automated mail providers, you have access to, you know, how many people opened it and what we would call the open rate. So, and you'll never get 100% open rate. So sort of around, I mean, it'd be great to get around sort of 50%, frankly. You know, that's well above the average. But you will see after a few newsletters what's had a better response, so what's been opened more, or what people have interacted, and by interacted I mean whether they've clicked on a website link or a, something else. You know, you can see that they've interacted with the email as well as just opening it, and you can get a sense then from your list, from your newsletter list, of what people are actually enjoying. So do they enjoy slightly longer ones, do they enjoy shorter ones, do they like, you know, the behind the scenes sort of information, do they not like it, do they just want the news, you know, the new release information. So you can kind of, after a while, you will be able to get a sense and actually see real figures in terms of what people are responding to. And so it's kind of like, it is a little bit of experimentation at the start, but after a while you'll get a feel for what readers respond to well. Like Trudy, with the feedback that she's getting is really, really positive about just her involvement with her readers.
Cool. Excellent. And on that note, I think, did you want to shout out to someone, Cheryl?
I certainly did. So one of our fans, Jamie McKinney from Austin, Texas. Thank you so much for your follows and your really, really humorous little snippets about how you see us. We don't always intend to be ridiculous, but sometimes So thanks for sticking with us, Jamie, and we hope you enjoy some more of our podcasts.
Yeah,
excellent.
And how do they get hold of us, Sha?
They find us at spargirlspodcast.com, and we're on Facebook at spargirlspodcast, and we are on Twitter at spargirlspodcast.
All right, we'll see you all next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Bye. Well.
Bye. Bye.